creating gracious space through acts of generous love. Last week, we looked at why a Jesus-centered community. And I've heard from three people, actually, that weren't here that said, hey, we listened to you online. Thank you, Kevin, for diving into that and having that dialogue. So if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to that. There's a few little rabbit trails that might not totally make sense while you're listening online, but some people said that that helped them, and they giggled about it too. But there you go. On that note as well is some people are going to look at me funny here. I usually don't recommend a book that I haven't read. Everyone's like, oh, no, don't do that. But relating to last week on why a Jesus-centered community, I'm going to recommend a book that I'm going to read this summer that our conference has encouraged a lot of our pastors to read to have a discussion. We're having a discussion later in October on biblical interpretation and how do we do that? What does it look like? And so one of the books that they have commended to us that I thought, I don't want to keep it secret. It's something that I'm going to walk through as well. And it is called, and I just got it on like Friday. Amazon dropped it off. And they threw it up to my, it's interesting. Anyway, it's called The Bible Unwrapped, Making Sense of Scripture Today by Megan Larissa Good. And so maybe a few of us want to read it this summer and have a conversation. That would be a wonderful thing. So, The Bible Unwrapped, Making Sense of Scripture Today by Megan Larissa Good. There, I just did it. I recommended a book that I hadn't read yet. So that means that we don't agree with everything in it, but it's something that we can wrestle through as a community, okay? Check and see. Maybe we can have some good conversations around that. Today we're looking at the topic, what is gracious space? What is gracious space? What? Oh, wow, there we go. That was really good. Yeah, you guys paying attention? That's good. Okay, so if you're listening, I should have said, what is gracious space? But it's gracious space here. So we're going to unpack this a little bit as it pertains to Jesus being center of the community and how it pertains to us as a community. So would you pray with me? God, thank you for this community. Thank you that 2.5 years ago, first of all, thank you 15 years ago that this community was planted here through Wayne and Suzanne. Thank you for the breadth and the people that have been ministered to in this way. Thank you for all that has happened along the way. Thank you also in the last 2.5 years where our community gathered together and came up with this vision of listening to one another and worked out this vision of that we're a Jesus-centered community creating gracious space through acts of generous love. Continue to help us unpack that and what it would mean for us as Jesus followers here today in our context, in our situation that we find ourselves in. Would your scripture come alive to us today? Would we have a dialogue today that would move us towards being more like this Jesus-centered community? We pray this in your name. Amen. So if you've been around us in the last couple of years, we usually love diving into one book series. So we'll spend some time in Exodus up in the fall. Then we kind of went through the liturgical year a little bit through Lent and also Easter. And we spent mainly our time in John during the Eastertide season. Coming up this summer, just letting you know, last week we're going to be diving in the book of Philippians. It's a really short book, and it'd be great for you to be reading ahead and asking questions and reading, tracking with us. And so we're going to take about 8 weeks in summer to read on Philippians. Very rarely will we do like a topical series, but we thought, hey, we had 3 weeks here between summer and Eastertide season, we thought, let's dig into our vision statement of being a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. That being said, usually we have the text and then like the larger text, and when we let the text speak into our lives and we say, how does this text speak to us? Usually we don't do a topical going, this is our topic, now let's find a text to proof text our topic. Do you understand what I mean? And so it's kind of what we're doing. It's what people did for years in the 90s and 2000s and earlier. And it's kind of one way to do this as well. And so as we look at gracious space, and as I'm trying to find a text to kind of land, there will be a few different texts to land in to look at this in the, today. Okay? So one of the texts that I wanted to have us look at is Philippians 4, 1 to 6. Sorry, Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The other scripture that we'll land in a few minutes, well, I can read it through as well, is Mark 3. The calling of the disciples. Jesus went up to a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority over and to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them, he gave the names Boanerges, who can say that correctly, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So why do I pick these two verses? Of course, like, yeah, tell me, please. So Ephesians is saying, look, when Jesus is center, when there's only one God, one Father above all, for all, it's going to be messy. Because if there is only one God that's above all, then who are the all? That's us. So now I'm reading backwards. It's going, okay, who is Jesus calling? Who does Jesus say and call to follow him and then eventually is going to lead his church? And we're going to get, and this is mainly all Jewish people. Here the gospel records only men. We know that women were with him during this time. So there was a following. And then later we're going to see that after Jesus' ascension, and after Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, where tongues came, and then they were forced to do what? To speak the good news to other people that are not like them. And then we have Acts that is now going to, in the book of Acts, we're now going to include the Gentiles. But right now, so that's the overall, above all, in all. And this is what it looks like. So how do we live with a bunch of people that might not see the same way? That, I think, is what Jesus is calling us as a community to live in gracious space. So do you understand now? Does anyone have a head nod why I'm going to use the Ephesians thing and try to look at Jesus' calling of the disciples? And then we're going to try to unpack tables too. So stick with me. So look who Jesus calls here in Mark 3. If we look here, calls Simon Peter. If you've been around a church for a while, you know that this is a guy who speaks before he thinks. His foot gets in his mouth before he has a chance to take it out. Probably knocks out a few teeth while he does it. And he's a very verbal processor. Then we have James and John, sons of thunder. Guys that in Luke 9, they want Jesus to call down fire from heaven to consume a Samaritan village. Let's remember that. Yeah, they're fishermen, but they're fiery fishermen. These are people that are already hanging out with Jesus saying, hey, I know they're not accepting us. Should we call down fire from heaven? And Jesus is like, nah, no, not really about that. Then you have some fishermen as well that we know that if that was their main trade, so they're having the fish, and as they're being fished, they're probably having to be taxed on that fish. And then you have Jesus calls Matthew, a tax collector, in this mix, who Matthew might have been taxing these other guys, and he's getting paid by the Roman government, which is occupying and leading and overseeing where the Jews would have been living at the time, and the Jews would have not loved the Roman Empire as well. So the tax collectors were like, eh. Jesus calls a tax collector in. Then we have Thomas. We've spoken about him kindly. And this is a skeptic. Guys are asking some really tough questions. He's the guy in the room that's probably going to say something that everyone else is thinking. But maybe they're not ready to say it. You also have Thomas where after Lazarus dies and Jesus is like, we got to go back there. The disciples are like, no, you can't go back there because those people want to stone us. And Thomas is either really brave or more like Eeyore. I'm not sure. He's like, well, let's go back and die with Lazarus, right? He's like, let's just go back. If Jesus, if you're calling us, then let's go do there. Let's go there. And then you have this guy, Simon the Zealot, and we're not going to get into many other. Simon the Zealot, which is a bit of a mystery man. Simon the Zealot is different than Simon the Peter, different person. Simon the Zealot, Bible scholars have argued whether or not Simon was a member of this radical zealot party, or whether the term maybe referred to his religious zeal that he would have. Those who take the former view here think that Jesus may have chosen Simon as a member of the tax-hating, Roman-hating zealots to counterbalance who? Matthew, the tax collector, who was an employee of the Roman Empire. Those scholars that say that say such a move that Jesus would have done here would have showed that his kingdom reaches out to people in all walks of life. Can I hear an amen? I know you're Mennonite, but that's an amen. Right? Wow, that was bigger than I thought. Well done. Reaches to everyone. This is what's happening here in Ephesians. All. Now, who's the all? All is us. Now, what do we do with this? Another odd aspect of Simon's appointment here was that the zealots generally agreed with the Pharisees, actually, as far as a lot of the legalistic observances of the commandments. And Jesus frequently clashed with the Pharisees over the strict interpretation of the law. What was Jesus up to? As I was looking at this, I was like, do we ever ponder that very often? These are just the first people Jesus is calling, and they're already ripe for disagreements. Wow. How good is this? Jesus chose this motley crew for the foundation of his church. The list includes these men like I spoke of, and women that are also included that we know. Politically, they would have represented a full spectrum of opinions, with a man on the payroll of Rome and a revolutionary against Rome. They also would represent a wide theological spectrum, Jesus chose this unlikely crowd, prone to disagreement, as the foundation of his church. This diverse group of disciples, with a high probability of division, one author says, it's almost as if Jesus was setting himself up to have a divided kingdom. What would unite this motley crew? What would keep them strong in the face of opposition? I would say Jesus. He's always reeling in and pulling people back and pushing people forward and saying, it's not like this, it's like this. This is who you're supposed to sit with. This is what you're supposed to do. No, you don't call fire on those people. Let me unpack that a little bit. Maybe we need to have coffee. What does this look like? So now, in a short time, I want to unpack the table in the kingdom of God for us just a little bit. Jesus came enacting and demonstrating the kingdom in different ways with healing, but he also used this idea of the table, sitting with people. One of the ways he did that was around with people and food. Food expresses our what? What does food express? When you think of food, I need some. I'm dependent on it. And I'm dependent on, like, my kids after. We're like, you know, the doorbell rings. We live in such a great neighborhood, and there's like kids ringing the doorbell all the time. Hey, can Ellie and Mal come out and play? And we're having dinner, and we're lucky enough that most dinners we're sitting around the table, and there's a doorbell comes, so we're like, we're gone. I'm like, no. Take some plates, take the table, like clear the table for us. Like, why? I'm like, why did I have to make the food for you? Why did mom have to make the food for you? Right? And they're like, yeah. They're dependent on me and Sharon to provide the food. And this table has this interesting thing that there's community that happens, but there's dependence on the food that's in front of us as well. So we're not only dependent on food, but we're dependent on God who provides for us in this way. And meals also embody friendship and welcome. So food is a powerful way of doing mission and also community. Well, we won't quite get into mission yet, but this community. Meals in Jesus' day were highly stratified. Like, there's a hierarchical time at the thing happening at the time. Roman meals expressed a social order. Jewish meals were similar. In Luke 14, remember, there's this jockeying for position that Jesus talks about a parable, or the disciples are like, hey, can we sit here? We can sit here. He's like, you can't handle who's sitting on the right and left. And with the added twist of Levitical food laws, it made all but possible for the Jews to eat with, impossible for Jews to eat with Gentiles. We're not even there at the Gentiles yet. So meals expressed who were the insiders and who were the outsiders. This is what meals expressed. Jesus turns it all upside down, or maybe one author says, turns it inside out. That here, Jesus is moving and taking, Jesus is turning things on his head, and we see Jesus being one that's sitting with the people that he's not supposed to be sitting with. Not only is it because Jesus is showing compassion, Jesus is also showing, hey, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. We're to sit with people that maybe don't get along and maybe don't understand each other. We need to do this more often. And so Jesus, the Pharisees, are criticizing Jesus for being what? Who's he sitting with? What does this look like? Why is he doing this? Jesus is revealing who's in and who's out. So what I want to encourage us in, I wonder if around a table and around us as we kind of think of a table for our church is who is in and who's out? What does it look like? How do we invite people? What does it look like? I wonder if around the table or we look at who we are here, that it forces us to think about this in Jesus' ways, that gracious space will be safe, but not always comfortable. It should be safe, but not always comfortable. Safe meaning we don't want to tolerate abuse. We don't want to tolerate people pushing and shunning other people out. Uncomfortable meaning Jesus is going to challenge us on stuff. Like every time we open up the Bible, he's challenging us on stuff. That I need to, what does it look like for me to love God more and love others more? Those are those two commands that Jesus said. What does that work in my own life? So we need to be committed to the fact that I want to help create a safe place, but it might not always be comfortable for us in that way that God is moving us to be more and more a disciple like him. So this group of people that is with, it might not be comfortable. It might not be comfortable with it, but hopefully it's safe. Who's invited to this table? Wow. Let's take an example that Jesus ate with tax collectors. Tax collectors were, obviously we talked about that they're collaborators with these Romans, and the people were occupying God's promised land, and if you eat with them, you're betraying your nation, and you're also betraying your faith, because your faith and nation is linked together. But Jesus shows that God can sit with his enemies. God can sit with people that are not like him, and he's calling us to do the same because he actually sits with us. Huh. It's an amazing expression of the gospel of grace, which reveals gracious space. And so I wonder if we see who's invited to the table at that point in time when Jesus is sitting with the table and the Pharisees are getting upset with him for doing that, and rightfully so, because they're like, you're not supposed to do this. The law says, like, don't do this. He's like, no. And then we move further along the line with the church and the Holy Spirit coming over, and then the church had to unpack what it means to include the Gentiles, and Peter continues not to get it, even as a dream, to reveal to him that, okay, you can go eat with this Cornelius guy. And it seems like Paul was always poking and prodding Peter to say, what do you do? And in fact, the whole book was written because someone wouldn't be able to eat with the Gentiles. The book of Galatians is that. Whole book was written about it. Guys, would you just do this? And so Jesus is always moving us outside our boundaries. And when we say, who's invited, we got to go, it's not just me. It's my neighbor. It's the person above me. It is the person beside me. It's my coworker. It's the barista. It's what does this invitation look like? This gracious space. And I wonder if also this gracious space, I've talked to many of you that gracious space isn't just being, like here I'm pushing us to what does an invite look like? Who's invited to the table, which is everyone. So that, in a sense, means that, okay, I need to figure out how to be more loving in this and maybe including and inviting. But gracious space also at our church, I believe, should allow people to maybe rest a while. Maybe you've been burned out. Maybe you need to rest a little while. Maybe gracious space, I've talked to a lot of you that it's been space that you're allowed to ask questions and wrestle with your doubts. And we can wrestle through these things together. Maybe gracious space, I know this is for a few people in our community as well, might just need community without necessarily believing everything. And if I look at Jesus, I see him doing that. Not everyone had their ducks in a row. Not everyone knew exactly what they believed in at the same time, but Jesus was willing to sit with and and call them into community. What a beautiful place. What a beautiful place this gracious space could be. When Jesus is at the center, so it would be safe but not always comfortable. And my hope is that it would be a place where we have this invitation for all of us to be a part of what God might be shaping in our community. So when you're at the table and you have different people with different backgrounds, I think I might have shared this story before. When I grew up, I was invited to a family, like, you know, you go to different families' homes, and I think I was maybe 11 or 10 years old, and just a time where I was able to go to friends' places and stay for supper without my parents being there or whatever. And I remember we were at this one family's home, and we had this great meal, and then the mom made homemade donuts. It was like, oh, so good, with like chocolate drizzle on it, and it was like I was salivating. And they had like 5 boys, which is crazy enough. And so, it was just me, the mom, the dad, the 5 boys, and me. And they put down this plate of donuts. There's probably like 20 donuts on there, so enough for like a couple each. And she puts down the plate. All of a sudden, poof, they're gone. They're gone. The mom, the dad, and me didn't get any. And these boys grabbed them, put them on their plates, and then what did they do when they put them on their plates? They spit on them. You're not going to eat my donut. This is mine. That's really not good table manners, right? It's kind of like way out there, but I actually experienced it. So how do we share, we listen, we talk. Usually when you're at a table, there's longer conversations that happen. There's lots of studies out there right now where they're saying you want to try to do that more with your family, because then there will be a longer conversations and more relationship with your family in the midst of the table. And so these verses in Ephesians 2 and 3 come to mind. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Would we be willing to do that? Not just grab the donuts for ourselves, spit on them, and say, forget it. Like, it sounds ludicrous, but it actually happens. And how do we do this together in a community? I'm just asking the question right now. And verse 15 of Ephesians 4 says this: instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Body, community, people, church, together, as we do this. And I wonder if, we've talked about this, you know, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago we talked about this idea of being honest and kind. I wonder if that's some good table manners. Honest and kind. Listen, you shouldn't have grabbed those donuts like that. It's absolutely terrible. What are you doing? Oh. Or, you know, how do we speak those words of truth and love, but be honest and kind and allow those people still at the table? How can we do this? I think it only will help us more and more if we can learn how to do this and be honest and kind with one another. We're hoping that in the fall that we can wrestle through some issues, maybe some biblical interpretation issues. How can we do this together as a community? And how do we be honest and kind with Jesus as the Lord of all of us? And we want to include people's voices in all of that. So my question is, who is at our table? Who is at our table? If we look around, we look at everyone here, and we're going, okay, yeah, we have some diversity. There's people from different backgrounds, different ages, different ethnicities. What does it look like? Our table can always look more and more like the table that Jesus is setting for us. And at Jesus' ultimate table, the communion table, where he offered his body and his blood for all of humanity, I wonder if the gracious space also includes this radical also invitation of this God who loves people so much. And that we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're not going to quite get it right, but we're going to choose to be honest and kind with one another. We're going to choose that this is going to be a safe place, but it might not always be comfortable, and that's okay. And I wonder, as we look at our table, this might motivate us and move us to be a church that practices this radical love for one another in the midst of our diversity, in the midst of us working through our political issues, theological issues, personal issues. What does it look like to be committed to one another in that way? I look forward to doing more in that way as well as a community. If you have ideas, let us know. We want to hear from you, and we want to be able to walk through what it means to be more of a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. Little things like this, it could be, maybe gracious space means around, when you use the metaphor, maybe we can invite people here over to your house for meals. Maybe if that doesn't work out, maybe you can meet up for breakfast or coffee with someone on the way to work or the way home. Maybe you can use lunch to invite your colleagues and maybe sit down with them. One of the things I said for 20 years as a youth pastor, I wonder if Julie remembers this, but I said, try to sit with or invite the kid that has no one to sit with. And that looks a lot like the kingdom of God. So maybe there's someone in your life that you can do that with. Maybe you can entertain someone over. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, I can't entertain, but I can invite myself over to someone's house. Do it. Right? Maybe we can wrestle with this gracious space even more and what it looks like. There's a few more things I want to say, but I'm not going to say. But would we be a people that could be committed to gracious space? Knowing that it's going to be safe, but not always comfortable, and that we can be honest and kind with one another. I think that would be a beautiful representation of God's kingdom. Let's pray. God, thank you for your love for us. Help us unpack what this means more and more in our lives. Thank you that gracious space actually moves us to be more and more like you. And maybe times where we're going to need rest. Maybe there's times where we just need inclusion. But at some point, it might not be totally comfortable. And that's okay. Because you are up to something. And what you're up to is allowing more and more people to hear this good news of you, Jesus. Good news that the Lord, that you came to reveal your love to all humanity. Help us be inviters for people into that so they can hear this good news. I pray this in your name, amen. Before the last song, we're going to do something we lately haven't said, hey, who wants to become members? We haven't necessarily done that. But there was a few people that said, hey, we want to be members. And I was like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's do this. So we're going to call three people up, Jason Isley and Sue Isley, and Jesse Getter are going to come up. And they actually want to be card-carrying members of Coast Hills Community Church. We don't have any cards.
It comes with a tattoo, right?
Yeah, tattoo, gracious space. And so we're super, super encouraged by that. And so I did ask them, here I am, obviously I didn't, but can you share just a little bit, like why? I know that Jason's prep, you probably are too, and you are. And in a few words, why you might want to do that. Who wants this?
Check.
There we are. Hi, I'm Jay. Hi, how you doing, Harold? Good. Why we wanted to become members, that's the question, right?
Yeah.
Really, it kind of came down to the fact that I think we've actually kind of really found community. Mm. Both of us, Susie and I, both kind of grew up in churches that had membership growing up, and we've been a few different places over our lives and many years through our marriage. And when we landed at Coast Hills, what you're speaking on this morning, gracious space, is unfortunately kind of a unique thing, I think, in a lot of churches. Because we find, I'm not even going to talk about we. I won't speak for you. I'll speak for me. I find that there is something very unique about Coast Hills and this community in that air of we don't have it. Not everybody here has to have it together. We don't all have it together. We have a lot of questions. We see the world differently. This diverse community doesn't just have to mean we all walk in the door and we've all read the MB handbook and we've all signed our papers and we all understand and no one's going to argue and no one's going to disagree and no one's going to ask questions. I love that this community asks questions. And mainly it's because as I read the Bible, every time the Israelites through the Old Testament figured they had it right, God waves them down and says, no, you got it wrong. And Jesus shows up and says, hey, guess what? You're waiting for Messiah. It's not what you're thinking you're looking for. And I think God is constantly trying to teach us about how we as humans are constantly looking at it probably the wrong way because we're just fallible humans. And this community seems to accept that. And I love the gracious space that's here. I love that the diversity is here and that, I don't know, I like everybody here. It's pretty easy to come to church.
Who wants to have them for dinner here and have a disagreement?
It's
be
an
honest
easy,
and kind.
There
no,
you go.
Well,
but it's an easy place to come to on Sunday morning. So I'll stop talking.
That's good. No, it's good.
Good morning.
Thank you, Jay.
I actually did not prepare for this question.
But
I'm all right with
that.
Do
you want to answer? Okay.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. We've been involved in many churches throughout our marriage. A few. Been committed, been involved. Serving has always been something that we have loved to do. And however, making that final commitment of becoming a member was never something that I or we felt was a step that we were ready to take. Life felt like their change was around the corner. We didn't want to be flaky. We felt like we could serve and be involved without taking that extra step. And in the time we've been at Coast Hills, we've had a very different type of experience where the way the culture, the leadership is different, and it's like the first time that I can say, yeah, this is a place that I am ready to take that step. I feel that I have been spoken to more at this church. I've heard God's voice more through these people, through watching different decisions, through different messages, different sermons, watching the leadership, different decisions that they make, and being inspired and appreciated how the team leads And so many, it's just been such a blessing. And I feel like this is the place that it makes sense, where we want to root our family and have our kids grow up and learn and be shaped by this community, because of the values that are here, that we see day to day with the people that are mixing in the back, how they are accepted, how they are loved, and the role models that are here, just people that maybe my kids have never had a conversation with you, but how you are in this church and how you sit in these pews, in these chairs, I see good things ahead for our kids. So thank you. And yeah, that's a little bit about
it. Thank you, Sue. Jesse, yeah.
All right, I will try to be brief, but I have quite a long history with this church, as some of you might know. I've been attending Coast Hills Church since it began in late 2003, so I think for me, the question of why I'm becoming a member now is really more of a question of why haven't I until now? So, for my first 8 or 9 years at Coast Hills, I simply didn't think membership was necessary. I was actively involved in a variety of ways, and I kind of felt like I already was a member in every way except on paper. It wasn't until I went off to Bible college that I learned the value of membership and the value of declaring my commitment in front of the community and being held accountable by the community. But that was over 7 years ago, so why didn't I become a member then? Well, after I got back from Bible college, I kind of had a gradual falling out with Coast Hills. Most of my peers from my time in youth group were still here, but we didn't have a young adults group, despite much effort being made to start one. One by one, my peers began to leave, and it became increasingly clear to me that people my age weren't a priority to Coast Hills Church. In addition to that, my involvement in the worship ministry had diminished to practically none, and I was kind of left feeling alone and irrelevant, and I began to seriously question why I even kept coming to this church. About 3 years ago, things began to change. Kevin had just become lead pastor, and Coast Hills had just hired Ajay as their worship pastor. I found myself at a crossroad that summer when I received an email from Ajay asking about my availability to serve in the worship ministry, i.e. asking me for a degree of commitment to Coast Hills. And I realized in that moment that I had to decide if I was staying or leaving. Suffice it to say, I have never looked back and wondered if I made the right choice. I was involved in the worship ministry again, and I began making connections with the people I was serving with, especially during the various worship arts events and parties that Ajay had planned. Hint, hint, Julia. Ajay also met with me every so often to chat, and Kevin and Julia have since done the same. And I've become involved in Coast Hills in ways that I never imagined. First, becoming part of the song selection process, and then becoming a worship leader. And it's been such a blessing for me to grow in this role with the support of Ajay and now Julia. In all the years I've been here, I've never felt more like a valued part of Coast Hills than I do now. So I think it's time that I take the next step and become a participating member.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah. That's great. So what I hear you saying is that we need to lean into people to be more involved. Is that it? No. Well, as I was saying, most of you are really involved. And on that note, too, there's signups in the back for a few things that we're looking for this summer. We do need to set up and take down every week this summer, so that's going to be a bit of a challenge, especially when I'll be taking a few holidays. So if you're around, that'd be great. I've already seen some people that have filled that out, which is great. For some of you that are thinking, hey, we'd like to be members too. Sorry that we necessarily didn't say, hey, here's a membership thing, but we can do it again next week if you want. And we can meet with you and do this. And we're also working through some other details of membership and what that looks like here at Coast Hills. So we'd value that if you want. Someone said to me that you don't want too many members because it's going to be harder to get a quorum to actually make a decision. But we found out that you can do things through proxy that waives that anyway. So legally, it's a really good thing to do. And we're just so happy that you guys are here in this way. So we're just going to read out a statement that that we have for you, and it's going to be on here as well. And I'm going to read it. It's just something that we've done for years, and this is kind of we've done. So we're going to read this out for everyone. Some of you are like, hey, I'm a member. Why don't I just read it out? Again, be reaffirmed in that. So we'll do that, and then we'll just pray a blessing on them and receive them into membership. So before God and these witnesses, I make this covenant as I join the participating membership of Coast Hills Community Church. I give myself to you, Lord Jesus, to love you, to commune with you daily, to listen to your voice, to follow you wherever you lead me, sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to use the gifts you have been given to magnify you, to seek to please you only, to be willing to suffer for you. Jesus, help me to do this. I give myself to your world, to share your love with those who don't know it, to serve those placed before me, to live responsibly in your creation. Jesus, help me to do this. I give myself to these, my brothers and sisters, to meet with them faithfully, to worship you, to use gifts you've given to serve Coast Hills, to uphold the vision of Coast Hills, to support those you have pointed to being Coast Hills leaders, to pray for my sisters and brothers, to give and receive admonition, to be accountable to my sisters and brothers in Coast Hills, in stewardship of my resources, my lifestyle, my home. Jesus, help me to do this by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. God, thank you for the opportunity again that these three and maybe others that are moving more into this community. And thank you even for this formal inclusion into their membership of Coast Hills. Pray a blessing on the Isley family. Would you give them strength and grace and wisdom as they raise their children? Thank you for Jesse. Thank you for his story. And thank you for what you're doing in and through his life. Thank you that we're getting to know him even more during this season. And God, would you bless them? Bless him as well. Thank you for Coast Hills Community Church. God, would you grant the wisdom to the leaders as we seek to fulfill the mission that we would be a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. We pray that this would extend to a far reach and that people would come to a knowledge of you, Jesus, a saving knowledge of you through this community. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the gracious space and the grace that you've given us for the time. Thank you guys for doing this. And there is another song, but if you need to grab a... Oh, yeah, the formal... Okay, great.
Sweet. Just going to let Jay get his...